This is the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast brought to you by Art Wiederman, CPA with Ide Bailey. Whether it's taxes and investing or planning wisely, Art is the expert to make your dental practice profitable. At Ide Bailey, what inspires you inspires us. We provide a suite of accounting and advisory services dedicated to the total care of your practice. Visit our website to access our tools and resources tailored for dentists, idebailey.com/dentist. That's idebailey.com/dentist. This podcast is distributed with the understanding that Art Wiederman, CPA, and Ide Bailey, LLP are not rendering legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Listeners should consult with their business advisors before acting on any of the information or opinions shared. If you have questions and or feedback, make sure to email Art over at awiederman@idebailey.com. That's A-W-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N at E-I-D-E-B-A-I-L-L-Y.com. You can also give Art a call at 657-279-3243. Without further delay, here's your host, Dental CPA Art Wiederman.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast with Art Wiederman, CPA. I'm your host, Art Wiederman. I am a dental division director of the incredible CPA firm of Ide Bailey, and I work out of Southern California. And I have a very, very special guest today on a topic that is very passionate to me. Probably 20 years ago, I was in my dentist's office in Southern California, and he was asking me about my health. And I said, you know, he says, how are you sleeping? And I'm thinking, why would a dentist ask me how I'm sleeping? And I said, well, honestly, I'm not sleeping real well. My wife tells me I snore a lot and I wake up a lot and I'm just tired in the middle of the day. He says, well, have you ever been tested for sleep apnea? And I literally, I kid you not, I said, sleep whatnia? What are you talking about? And he started explaining it to me. I went for a sleep study. In the last 20 years, I have learned a lot. I have slept with a CPAP machine and I'm convinced, and I will mention his name, Dr. Scott West in Mission Viejo, California, probably saved my life. So here's my guest today, Dr. Dar Radfar, known as Dr. Rad. Dr. Radfar is one of the premier experts in the United States on sleep apnea. He's a private practice dentist practicing here. I'll tell you a little bit about him in a moment. But let me give you some statistics. Moderate or severe sleep apnea can cut your life expectancy by 12 to 15 years. You have a 5-time higher risk of cancer, according to a study by the University of Wisconsin, if you have sleep apnea. According to the National Council on Aging, 39 million Americans have obstructive sleep apnea, and 936 million, so probably one out of six humans on this planet have a sleep disorder. And the Center for Disease Control says 3 out of 4 U.S. adults have some sleep disorder symptoms. Folks, this is a big deal. I have had people come and lecture on this to my clients. You are going to save lives and improve people's lives for the better if you get into this. And we're going to talk to Dr. Radfar about what it takes to do this, how he does it, and some tips on how to get into it. And he can actually help you to get into it. So we'll get to him in a moment. I want to thank my wonderful partner in crime, Decisions in Dentistry magazine, www.decisionsindentistry.com. They have 140 CE courses for a very reasonable price. And they also have 3 Art Wiederman pre-taped courses on retirement planning and metrics, et cetera, that you can purchase. Go to www.decisionsindentistry.com. I'm so excited about all the guests we're going to have. We're going to be doing a series on financial planning later this year with my colleague, Justin Palatero from Ide Bailey Wealth. We're going to be talking about what is a financial plan, who needs a financial plan, which is everyone. What are the different aspects? Talk about college planning, retirement planning, insurance, and investments, and all that kind of stuff. So please listen to that. If you are looking for a dental CPA and you're not getting good service from your current CPA, please reach out to me. I get lots of wonderful emails from our listeners all over the country. My phone number is 657-279-3243. And my email is A Wiederman, that's A-W-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N, at idebailey.com. If you are looking to do some financial planning, our process is second to none to anything that I've seen in the last 40 years of being in this business. I mean, we've gone through soup to nuts everything that we do for our clients.
Be sure to check out our new Ide Bailey podcast, Ebb and Flow, a business podcast providing inspired insight on issues and trends the middle market faces. Hear unique business stories, get answers to frequently asked and unasked questions, and understand business topics that matter to you. Available now on your favorite podcast platform.
All right. With that, I would like to bring on, introduce Dr. Dara Radfar. Dr. Radfar is a practicing dentist. He practices in Thousand Oaks, California. Now, Dr. Radfar and I actually met at the Speaking and Consulting Network meeting that we had in Austin, Texas, a couple months ago, and he and I competed in the Spotlight on Speaking competition, and he was amazing. In fact, all of the speakers, all eight of us, I was very proud of the job that I did, were amazing. And Dr. Radfar actually got the runner-up. And I found out a couple minutes ago before we pushed the record button here that Dr. Radfar also won the competition, the speaking competition at the DICOMA meeting in Denver. So, Dr. Radfar, congratulations. I mean, you're winning competitions left and right here.
Art, thank you so much for having me on. And yeah, I'm trying to just get my voice out and speak about how important sleep is. I almost died in 2009. I fell asleep at the wheel, embarrassingly crashed my car into a tree about a block away from my house, just being tired throughout the day, similar to what you were experiencing with the dental visit that you had, except no one asked me, you know, are you feeling more tired throughout the day? Does anyone tell you that you snore? You know, all those questions that are such simple questions that we can ask our patients so that I could say, yeah, you know what, I am. And I'm having a problem and I want a home sleep study to be able to figure that out. And my accident caused me to, you know, jump into this world of sleep apnea, learning so much about it, the medical comorbidities, which we'll dive into. And we forgot to mention one huge thing, snoring. Being, you know, next to a bed partner, embarrassed, having your significant other or your partner sleeping next to you or not sleeping in the next bedroom. And if you're single and you're meeting someone for the first time, like, let's talk about the social implications, let alone mental health issues associated with poor sleep, let alone work productivity and how well you are able to focus at work and be able to achieve and function and make good money. Really, this is all health, wealth, and relationships are severely affected if we're not sleeping well. And it's a good idea to get it checked out. And I'm really excited to talk to you about it today.
Well, I am too. And as my audience knows, I've been doing this for 5.5 years, this podcast. I am so passionate about this. It is, you know, as I've told you guys, this podcast is a call to action. I got an email from one of our wonderful listeners in the Midwest the other day about saying that he really likes that it's a call to action. And, you know, we're not going to teach you everything you need to know in the next, you know, hour or so about sleep apnea. But what I want you to do, doctors, is if you have any trepidations or if you have any thoughts about, oh, this is too hard and how do we bill? We're going to go into all of this with Dr. Rad today. But just jump in. Just jump in. So, Dr. Rad, let's start. Tell us a little bit about your professional journey before we get into the topic.
Yeah, so I'm a graduate of USC School of Dentistry 2002. So for 22 plus years, I've been cutting crowns. I do Invisalign. I'm just all like all you all listening out there, you know, grinding it at the office. I used to work 4.5 days a week. Now I'm down to almost 2 days a week because just my sleep portion of my practice has taken off. We're about 35% of my collections is been sleep. I do grossly about 30 to 50 appliances a month now. Half of them are through medical doctor referrals in the community, which I discuss on my coaching and consulting program on how to implement sleep, on how to do all that, along with just word of mouth referrals. I really don't even advertise. Once you know how to do it and you start doing it for your own patients, the word gets out and the system is what's important. And I put the system in place when I was patient zero at my office a few months after my failure at wearing the CPAP machine in 2009. I made my mouth the mouthpiece. I discovered it, made it for myself, realized how much it affected me. And you know, that's really how everyone can start. If you yourself, a partner, a friend, a brother, a office person, or their spouse or a partner, ask around. Someone is not sleeping well and someone's snoring. So you could dive in, make an appliance, learn how to do it. And I teach the course on how to do it and coach offices to become successful at it. And, you know, we do want to talk a little bit about money. You know, this is great. You said 12 to 15 years off your life if you're not treated for it, for moderate to severe, and a 5-times high risk of cancer of any kind, and risk of diabetes and high blood pressure and acid reflux and mental health like depression and anxiety, all those things being super important. But who doesn't want to add $250,000 to their office the first year that they do this? We shouldn't be shy about talking about how this is a great return on investment once you learn how to do this. Not only a return on investment, but a return on life. And to be able to add $250,000 on average is what I've seen my offices that I trained you, it's huge on your EBITDA. And you know, you're a numbers guy, Art.
I am. This is the Art of Dental Finance and Management. So we are required by law to talk about numbers. So I definitely want to get into that.
So, you know, if we can add $250,000 on average first year to a practice that say does at least 3 days of hygiene, or 3 days of hygiene plus, then the numbers keep going up. How much is that exit when you're trying to sell to a DSO on average, right? What's that worth? Because your 250 is really, your cost is probably around 15% of that. The appliance is around anywhere between $400 to $500 on average in an appliance. And you're getting anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 per appliance. So if you do the math, you're doing around, if you go 5X, 1.25 to your pocket, in your pocket. If you're adding this to your office. And again, let's let go of the numbers for just a second. All the things that you're doing that's beneficial for their medical well-being, let alone their social well-being as well. So the numbers are there. And I'm sure any office that you've worked with, are they want to know how do I keep more? Well, this is also how do you make more, right?
Yep. See, in a business, folks, the marginal profit that you make, you know, you've got your rent covered, you've got your insurances covered. Most of you don't need to add an additional team member to do an additional procedure. But the marginal profit, which means that if you do a sleep appliance, what Dr. Rad is saying, and you charge $4,000, you know, the marginal cost of that appliance is maybe $600 to $900, maybe. So you're keeping over $3,000 on that. I mean, that's what we're looking for. And yes, it increases the value of your practice. Let me take a step back and let's just, because I will bet you, I brought out Dr. Kent Smith from Texas to speak 20 years ago to my group about sleep apnea. And I actually brought my CPAP machine. And a lot of the dentists came up to me at the end and said, Art, I've never seen a CPAP machine. I don't know what this is. I don't know anything. That's why I'm here. So there might be a good number of people listening, Dr. Rad, to this podcast who maybe they don't know what are the, maybe talk about what is sleep apnea and then maybe what are the options for treatment? Maybe get into that for a little bit.
Sure. So, you know, initially we can look at the daytime symptoms, such as being more tired throughout the day or memory loss. Headaches in the morning because you're not getting enough oxygen to your brain, and it's causing you to grind your teeth at night. So a little over half of people who grind their teeth at night and in the morning feel tightness of the jaw as a result of not getting enough oxygen in. It's almost like a fight or flight response. When you're not getting enough oxygen, you get aggressive, right? Like if you were to fight somebody because your life is threatened, because you're not getting enough oxygen to your brain, you tend to clench down. And what happens is you grind your jaw a little bit more forward. So if we look at the daytime symptoms, even dry mouth, a little bit of irritability and mood issues, Grumpy Dr. Rad was my nickname
I doubt that.
Yeah, and it's not only at home, but it was at the office, what do we got to do as dentists? We got to come in, do a song and dance. Our mood reflects everybody else's mood, right? So, and our mood changes other people's moods. We got to be happy-go-lucky, do the song and dance for our staff and our patients. And if you're not getting good quality sleep of at least 5.5 to 7.5 hours, I mean, you can get 8 hours of interrupted lack of oxygen sleep and you're going to feel tired, right? So those are the daytime things to look for. And then when you look in the mouth, there's a lot of things, a lot of, I call it crime scene investigation. You look in the mouth and you go, who here is having a problem sleeping, right? And some of the obvious things are lower anterior wear. Your front teeth are wearing, because we just mentioned the grinding of the jaw forward, causing you to open up your own airway and pushing your tongue forward or bringing it forward away from the back of the throat so you can breathe. And you're doing this dozens, if not a few hundred times a night. What happens to the tongue every time it hits the back of your teeth? Your tongue can get what we call scalloping, right? So scalloping of the tongue, which is these ridges that occur on the sides of the tongue, are another indication. So right there, we have two very easy landmarks that could indicate a conversation with the patient of how well do you sleep at night? Are you feeling tired throughout the day? Anyone tell you that you snore? And so these are kind of like landmarks, I say, to look them out. Now, of course, you can look at the back of the throat. There's Mallampati classifications, meaning when they stick their tongue out without saying ah, they just stick their tongue out. Do you see that punching bag in the back called the uvula? If you don't, because the palate is so droopy and comes down really hard, that's called Mallampati 4. The anesthesiologist, when they look at that, they get real freaked out. Or if you're going to surgery and you have sleep apnea, they're not pulling that tube out real quick. They're going to make sure that that tube stays in there until you're out. Otherwise, you're suffocating on yourself, right? So we can see that as a dentist. We can look, and the hygienist also, we can look in the mouth and have them stick their tongue out. And if we can't see that punching bag in its full entirety, that uvula, there's a high probability they're not getting enough oxygen. Those are some of the landmarks. If narrow arches, when the mouth is too narrow, the tongue doesn't have a place to sit. And where do we see narrow arches? Bicuspid extractions. So for your orthodontists that are listening, or people who've had ortho, and that's, I'm one of them, that's one of the main reasons why I have apnea. When you take out bicuspid, you become a little bit more narrow in the arches where you kind of measure the molar to molar distance. Therefore, you don't have a place for the tongue to sit as well, and it can fall back, hit that soft palate that keeps drooping and drooping and sagging as we age, like everything else in our body, right? And so as it sags more forward, the tongue gets closer to it. And so the tongue doesn't have a place to sit. It can fall back and cause vibration, which is snoring. And then all the ultimate suction against the roof of the mouth back there against the soft palate is called sleep apnea. So anyone looking in the mouth can look at this. And then, I mean, we can dive into the medical history as well. Looking in the mouth can do it. Retruded jaw, narrow arches, posterior crossbite, Mallampati 4, lower anterior wear. Large scalloped tongue, classic landmarks. Now let's look at the medical history. If you were my patient or anyone listening here comes to my office, the first thing I look at is the medical history, right? Before I go in. When I see high blood pressure, before dental school taught me, be careful with not using epinephrine in your anesthetic. Meaning right. When you use an epinephrine, you have a higher chance if it goes into blood vessels that you're going to raise their blood pressure and their pulse. So now when I see high blood pressure, well, over the last 15 years or so since I've been treating sleep apnea, I wonder, is this patient sleeping okay? Do they have enough oxygen? Are they feeling tired throughout the day? Because high blood pressure is one of the comorbidities in the medical history associated with sleep apnea. Now, Art, do you know people who have high blood pressure in your circle?
I do. It was interesting. I have never had high blood pressure, but I have sleep apnea. So that's interesting. But I do know people that have high. Yes, absolutely. My a very close family member who I shall remain nameless because this goes out over the internet. I have beaten over the head for years. You need to do this. You need to do. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I understand. And yeah, so yeah.
And it's estimated about 30% on some studies that 30% of high blood pressure patients are a result of sleep disordered breathing. So if you imagine when you have 10 patients coming into your office in a given month that have high blood pressure, maybe more, 3 out of those 10, if we help them breathe better with a CPAP or an oral appliance, you can possibly get them off blood pressure medication. I mean, how powerful is that as a dentist? And that can happen within the first couple months of wearing that appliance. Because they're ultimately breathing better, vasodilating, nitric oxide production, not vasoconstriction, and the arteries are opening up and there's more blood flow, right? And so blood flow is the key. Oxygen is the key. Without it, we can't even survive for more than a minute or so. And so the medical comorbidities, high blood pressure, the history of cancer, you mentioned 5 times higher risk of cancer with the University of Wisconsin study. Well, let's reverse engineer that. We want to prevent cancer, correct? But we also want to see if there's a cancer patient already. Let me get a little emotional. A patient comes in, whether it's a family member or a patient that you care about, with a beanie on their head. They've lost their hair due to chemo and radiation. Well, they usually request, do we have to take x-rays? I'm already going through a lot of treatment, right? And of course, we are sensitive to that and maybe take an x-ray if there's an emergency or whatnot. But we try to minimize any radiation. The mind should not stop there in a dental practice. My next question is, how well do you sleep at night? Have you ever been tested for a sleep study? Because we have seen that rates of cancer increase by 5-fold if you're not breathing well at night when you're sleeping. Oh, well, my oncologist never brought that up. Of course, he or she didn't. But I am. And I want to make sure that you're being treated properly, not to mention that we want to prevent the cancer from returning. Because if you're not breathing well, you're not getting enough oxygen, cortisol levels go up, stress hormones go up, and your blood vessels literally mutate to form more capillaries and branches to put more blood into cells to be able to function, including your tumor and cancer cells. So the cancer grows more rapidly for sleep apnea patients. And so you've got history of cancer, heart attack. And I know you're going to mention a football player later on that you and I kind of grew up with. Yep. Stroke, type 2 diabetes, acid reflux. 60% of GERD patients is estimated 60% are due to, you know, this sleep disorder, that effort breathing of taking deep inhalations, laying flat in bed will cause that acid to come up. And if your esophageal sphincter is destroyed, you get more reflux over the months and years. So we have all these comorbidities, and I'm sure I'm missing a few, that are always walking into our practice. And I haven't even looked in the patient's mouth. I could tell I'm going to have this conversation. So how do I incorporate it? All new patients should get a questionnaire. I truly believe that form number 5 or 4 or whatever you have in your office, being a sleep questionnaire is a really nice intro to the problem. Now, do they always answer the questionnaire truthfully? Believe it or not, they don't. Of the 3,000 plus dental offices that I've trained successfully, I've seen it where patients are saying no, no, no to the no, I don't snore, no, I don't fall asleep at the wheel, no, I don't feel tired throughout the day. The questionnaire that could be used like stop bang or Epworth questionnaire. And then you're in the chair, you have high blood pressure, the lower teeth are worn, that scalping of the tongue. And then when you have a conversation with them, they're like, oh, yeah, I'm feeling, my wife tells me I'm snoring. Or yeah. And then like you dive into it and hopefully they'll go and get a home sleep test that you refer to. So don't necessarily go with the sleep questionnaire, but it is a good way of starting it. Now, I totally don't recommend people giving that questionnaire to every patient that walks them through the door the next day they're at work. Because the guy who's coming in or the gal who's coming in for a cleaning or a crown prep, they don't want to be hindered relatively. And they don't want to be like, here, can you sign this or fill this out? We're doing a questionnaire about sleep. Oh, why is Dr. Rad doing this? Is he trying to pay for this next vacation? I'm just here for my cleaning, right? You get this pushback from a handful of patients, and it deters you and your staff for wanting to do this. So talk to the patient in the chair for your existing patients based on the medical and dental things that you see that we just talked about. And for new patients, add a form to help the conversation so that you can actually start incorporating this into your practice.
So I have a lot of questions based on everything you just said, which is fantastic. Number one, I cannot understand why dentists, you went to the USC Dental School, fantastic dental school. We have lots of well-trained dentists. How is it that so many dentists just don't make this a part of their practice? I mean, what do you hear? Is there a trepidation? Is it they're afraid of it's too much work? What is it?
So I literally, in May of this of 2024, I was speaking to 82 students at USC School of Dentistry. And I asked, the first question I asked, I said, are you guys being taught about sleep apnea? And they looked at me like, I think spoke about it for like an hour, 30 minutes or something like that. And it's not necessarily being focused on in school, although the treatment modalities are CPAP, which you love yours, Art, oral appliance, I love mine, and surgery. By American Medical Association guidelines, sleep study reports that are diagnosed for a patient for sleep apnea, the sleep physician that diagnoses it for the home sleep test or in a lab has to recommend all three of those options. Oral appliance is one of them. And the only human that can do an oral appliance is a DDS or a DMD. There's no ENT, no MD that can do it, right? So we are obligated to be able to provide this kind of service. And so do I place implants? Yes. Do I do molar root canals? No. Can I? Yeah, but I don't, let's call it enjoy it. Takes too much time. I think that what the pushback is I don't know how to implement it into my practice. Oh, I get excited about it. I do it for a couple of days and the patient doesn't want to pay. Does the medical insurance cover it? Do you worry about insurance per se when you help with someone with Invisalign or orthodontics and you're charging anywhere from $3,500 to $7,000-$8,000 for clear braces? And there's no ortho coverage, but you still recommend it. I mean, these patients are suffering. It has nothing to do with their smile. Oh, they're actually
trust me, I get it.
Yeah,
you do. Yeah,
and not to mention they've gone through a sleep study. A lot of these patients now, over the last 3 years since COVID, a lot of people have actually been paying attention more to their sleep. So I have a lot of patients coming in, and I get all excited. I see that they have scalloped tongue, and they're grinding their teeth, and medical comorbidity shows acid reflux, and frequent nighttime urination. That's another one. Hey, John, how well do you sleep at night? Oh, doc, I sleep like crap. I had a sleep study done 2 years ago. They gave me a CPAP. I don't know what to do. I'm hearing that more than what do you mean? You know? And so now that we hear that, it's our obligation at a minimum to find another dentist as a dentist if we don't want to do this, because we don't want to talk about the $3,000 to $5,000 cash fee that you want to charge. Forget medical billing. Charge a cash fee. If the patient says no, they say no. Remember, they are struggling. They're not recommending some sort of elective care. They know that they're suffering. And if they don't, then now at least they're aware of some of the educational pieces that you'll give them. And the way I started with my practices that I train, we have emails ready to go and SMS messaging, if you do that, to send through Dental Intel or any other program that you use that say, are you suffering from sleep apnea or snoring? Dr. Rad now helps screen and treat for sleep apnea. Come in for a consult or complimentary consult. Are you feeling more tired throughout the day? So there's certain email, nurturing emails that you can send to patients to let them know that you do this, to start the conversation. And then when you do one or two or three appliances a month and you see how well it works for majority of patients, you become addicted.
you get excited. I mean, when they bring their spouses in, they thank you. You know, they build so much value and trust within your practice. The next time you recommend an implant or a crown, it's a no-brainer. You've saved their life. They feel different. They're sleeping next to their bed partner. It's almost, I feel, there should be a rule. You look at x-rays, you diagnose perio and cavities, you need to be screening for sleep. And hopefully the business of dentistry will go there permanently and make it a requirement. And the American Dental Association has been pushing that, but it's not being done at every office.
Well, I think the general public, and this could be something that the ADA spends some of its marketing money on. I think the general public, they don't know that a dentist can help you with your sleep issues, right? The general public doesn't Correct. Really know that.
Correct. And the general public that is walking around, that is a patient of your practice for the last God knows how many days, months, and years, needs to know that, period, whether it's through a social media post every week, whether that costs you nothing, whether it's through an email that you could even do yourself through ChatGPT. You know, what are the dental correlations between sleep apnea and dentistry? Boom, give me an email. Copy, paste, come in for a complimentary consult with Dr. Rad. I mean, it's so simple. It's yeah. our job to educate our patients that we have the power to be able to help them. And it's our job to first have our hygienists, have our assistants, have our doctors and associates get trained, which I do through my RAD seminar program, to be able to understand what to look for. The dentistry art is relatively on the easy side. To be able to scan or take an impression and use a jig to take the bite, my staff does all that. I have videos for that. It takes only a few minutes to learn. And the appliances, I love Sleep Herbst appliances. I'm a big fan of Sleep Herbst. And SomniMed makes one, and Gergen Ortho Lab makes it, right? And the Vios appliance and Airvada. There's a bunch of appliances out there. And you can try different ones for different patients. The Sleep Herbst has been around for over 15 years now. It's FDA approved, Medicare approved, and it's a very durable appliance. And just try it on yourself. Try it on someone that's dear to you or part of your office and see how it goes and learn it. And then you'll be able to do it going forward. It's a game changer for your practice and the morale of the practice. So the total wellness starts with sleep.
Yeah, Dr. Rad, take a second. I mean, it's obvious how passionate you are about this subject, and you should be, and I am. That's why you're on my podcast. I know that you have a video series. I know that you do consulting. Talk a little bit about what you can do if, and again, folks, my long-term listeners who've been with me for over 5.5 years, I get nothing for promoting anything that my guests do. I have them promote it because it's going to help my doctors to be more successful. Let me be real clear if you're a new listener to my podcast, there is no Dr. Rad is not paying me a fee to talk about what he's about to talk about and what he does, but it's going to help you in your practice. So Dr. Rad, talk a little bit about whatever your training program for dentists and how to implement and incorporate sleep apnea into their practices.
So obviously, thank you so much for it's priceless to allow us to speak about this. So if I can help one dentist put this into their practice, increase their EBITDA and all that fun stuff, they can help hopefully dozens, if not hundreds of patients and not crash and like I did or have issues medically and live longer lives and be next to their bed partners, right? So there's a plus everywhere here in all different topics that we're talking about here. The best way is to be able to first learn what to do and how to incorporate it. So I have a full-day course online. You go through it through at your own time at your own convenience. It's about 5.5 hours of lecture time that not only goes through what to look for in the mouth and the forms and the chart notes and how to put the codes into Dentrix or Open Dental or all that. I also have 25 to 30 minute videos for the hygienist and the assistant to be able to know what they should look for and how to hand it off to the doctor, and a short video for the front office to be able to know how to communicate, to request for a home sleep study to the home sleep testing company that I recommend to use and I've been using for 10 years. They're called the sleep apnea team in Torrance, California. And also they do the medical billing. So all that is covered in the 5.5 hour video. Now, I've trained over 3,000 dentists, as I've told you, since 2014. I've done live events, for full day course. The problem is you get all excited, you go home the next day or 2 days later, you try to incorporate this, and you have 26 patients to see, and you have other things to do, and it's implemented. There's a pushback from the staff and this and that. And you have to bring all your staff to get trained. It's the best way to do it. It's possible to get trained virtually, but the best way is to be coached and consulted for the next several months to make sure your troubleshooting is answered, your staff is on it, your screening is being done. So I do weekly calls for the first month after you do the videos, one-on-one with the doctor. You also do one-on-one call with the hygienist one time and the front office to be able to make sure if they have any questions from what they've been trained. And then after the first month, it's every other week we meet. I'm always available on Voxer and text message if there's any trouble or questions that come up. And it's a six-month program. In 6 months, you'll be able to take off, do it right, know how to communicate with the medical doctors in the community. I teach it all, internal marketing, even some external marketing that is free, really, with the medical doctors in the community to help grow the practice. So I teach you how to do it, how to become efficient at it, how to protect yourself with the proper informed consent and the CPAP affidavit. All those are given, instructional videos and training. And then more importantly, the one-on-one communication between myself and the team and the doctors to be able to make sure, just like Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant and every other athlete and every other business entrepreneur has coaches. And to become successful, you need someone to push you until you're ready to do it. And it becomes just like an everyday routine. I have some offices that go beyond the 6 month and they go month to month after that. But whatever I do and I teach, it's guaranteed that it'll make them their money. And if it makes you money, it costs you nothing. That's my theory. If I'm going to spend $10,000 or $50,000, if I can make that back and then some, it didn't cost me anything. I'm going to make it back and then some. So the program is really geared to succeed because of the coaching after you learn what you're supposed to do and how to implement, because we do fall off, the wagon, so to speak. And we tend to not be on it when we have so many other procedures that we're doing, so many staff issues and things that come up. You need someone to say, hey, so how many people did we screen this week? What did you look for? Oh, what's happening with this person's appliance? Oh, this person has TMJ issues. What do you do there? So that's when I'm available to be able to make sure that the office succeeds.
Dr. Red, how do doctors listening to this podcast who are interested in dipping their toe into the sleep dentistry world, how do they get a hold of you? What's your phone number? Is there a website? What's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, so my website is radseminar.com, RADseminar.com. You can also email me at darradfar@gmail.com, my first name and last name @gmail.com. That's probably the best way. I do have just the instructional video by itself on my website. If you just want to take the course for 5.5 hours, it does provide 6 CEs for the course. And so there's many different modalities, a la carte options that we can do for some of you that have already kind of learned and done it. We can do different kinds of ways to make sure you're implementing it properly. I'm the type of person, I don't know how you are, Art, but when I look at my phone, I don't have 14,728 emails unread. I have no emails unread. So I'm on it too.
Yeah.
Right. You're a numbers guy. You don't want your numbers to look high in that department. Right. So I read my messages. I respond within the day at the latest. I only take on a certain number of dental practices. After my win, let's call it, for Dentistry's Got Talent last week at Dykema, I have a 20 practice DSO that we're signing up and a 12 practice DSO in the next couple months. So I can't do too many offices at one time. My team and I can only do so many. So I am a little selective. I do have an application process to make sure that we're a good fit. And if we're not, I will still guide them to maybe learn it in a different format. But the goal here is if you're excited, you want to add this because your office is a little slow, it's killing and booming, it doesn't matter. This is the time to do it. It doesn't, you can learn it at the comfort of your own. You don't have to fly out and see me live in Los Angeles to learn how to do this. The videos are ready to go. It's super easy to implement. I have testimonials and doctors that anyone who wants to reach out to me that they can talk to, I can refer to be able to see how easy it is to implement. You're going to be scratching your head after a few months going, why didn't I do this earlier? I mean, look at how much money you've wasted that you're not able to make, let alone how many lives you could have impacted that you have no idea how much they're being affected because you just haven't had the conversation with your patients yet.
So in the limited time I have left with you, I want to hit a couple more things. Number one, talk about how do we use medical insurance? Because that's something that a lot of doctors don't know either. Medical insurance. How does that work? Who do you work with? And does that make it easier to sell these cases?
First of all, part of my program invites the doctor to become a Medicare provider for DME, durable medical equipment, meaning Medicare 65 and over, not Medi-Cal, Medicare. They have coverage for sleep appliances. I highly recommend every office to be certified for that. It takes about 3 months. The medical billing company called the Sleep Apnea Team that I've been using for 10 years. They don't give me no sponsorships or anything like that. I just talk about who I use and been using and make sure that they service myself and all my doctors proficiently, ethically, and all that. So they will get you Medicare certified under my program at no extra cost. And once you're Medicare certified, it's really easy, relatively, to get paid for an oral appliance. You just need a sleep study within the last 3 years that says the patient has sleep apnea. So a Medicare patient, once you get payment for that, they have no copay. There's a lot more likelihood medical doctors in the community are going to refer to you. Because I teach you how to communicate with their medical doctors on how you're servicing these patients. And their patients, majority of patients who have sleep apnea, definitely as you creep up over the age of 65, there's more of those patients out there that need treatment and they can't tolerate their CPAP machine. PPO medical insurance is based on their deductible. So, Art, do you know your medical deductible? Do you know that the medical deductibles out there, how much they range from?
Yeah. There, some policies have zero. Some are, if it's a health savings account, it could be $5,000 or $7,500 a year.
Brilliant. So, UPS in my area, the deductible is $100, and they cover the appliance at 80%. Wow. And the billable amount is $9,500 for a sleep appliance by any medical billing company that you use. The medical billing company that I use that's part of the program charges the dentist 8% of what you get paid. They don't
charge
upfront.
That's right in the rate. That's normal. Yep.
Yeah. And they don't charge an upfront fee. They don't charge a billing fee, a submittal fee, because if the patient has a deductible of $5,000, and it has not been met, meaning they haven't seen a physician to use any of that to fill up that deductible in medical insurance. When you have a medical billing company bill for you, they're not going to get paid for anything. So it is a cash patient at that point. I always say service your patients as a cash patient. Have the medical billing company bill for you because you sent them the medical insurance card and your chart notes and what we call a super bill, which is a communication tool to be able to let them know on a piece of paper what you did that day, like the appliance or the exam and whatnot. And you can get paid on all the exams every time they come in. Every office visit is a billable under medical insurance for sleep apnea. And if you get paid up to that amount of your cash fee, and what's a typical cash fee? I've seen doctors charge $2,500 and I've seen doctors charge up to $8,000 for an appliance. I personally charge $3,000 for appliance for a cash fee. It's on the lower end, but I'm kind of trying to make this a little bit more affordable for patients to be able to, I don't know, help them, right? I'm still making good money. When the appliance, by the way, cost me $390 from Gergen Labs. That's my hard cost for a sleep appliance.
So let me ask you this, because I got a couple more things I want to hit before we part ways today, doctor. How do you decide which dental do different patients have you choose different dental appliances? Like one might use a Sonomed, another one might use another one. Well, how do you do that?
No, I exclusively have been using Gergen OrthoLab. I've noticed that their appliances are, first of all, it takes about 2 weeks for me to get it back. They're a little bit more sleek and not as bulky as some of the other sleep herbs that I've used. And they allow patients to move a little bit more left and right. They have freedom of movement. It just doesn't allow the jaw to fall back, right? Because it's a mandibular advancement device. And so I've 90%+ of the time I'm doing sleep herbs. If the pistons on the side or something that's bothering the patient, I may switch them up to a tap or some other type of appliance, like an Airvada appliance. But I love sleep herbs and I love using Gergen Ortho Lab. I've been using them since 2010. The average mouthpiece lasts about 3 to 5 years, I've seen, in patients' mouths before it falls apart, which is great. And now those plastic ones like Silent Night or EMA that are more uncomfortable to wear. Sleep Herbs is not a, it's a generic FDA approved appliance. It's not a labeled private label appliance that, you know, companies out there are pushing to get some sort of sales for their company. It's the best of the best. And I don't think any sleep, dental training, sleep, apnea dentist will ever say anything bad about the sleep herbs.
All right. So I have heard from dentist clients of mine that they are concerned that if they get into this sleep dentistry world, that these appliances can cause TMJ problems and they don't want to deal with that. Talk about that for a minute as a dentist.
So the two major side effects are lower jaw moving forward by about 1 to 2 millimeters because of the stretch that it does every night, 1 to 2 millimeters in a 7 to 10 year lifespan. That's what the clinical studies have shown. So if you imagine, there's a possibility that the jaw, lower jaw, will end up either edge to edge or more class 3, depending on how you started. Now, before every listener here has a mild heart attack, pun intended, you forget what you're trying to help the patient with. You're helping them with so many different medical comorbidities, let alone so many different social and dental implications that it affects, such as grinding of the teeth, acid reflux, which causes class 5 abrasions and gum recession and all that. So informed consent is important. And to mitigate or minimize the anterior or the forward protrusive movement of the lower jaw, simply make the patient a morning aligner that they put in for 3 to 5 minutes when they wake up, that's positioning their jaw back, repositioning, or called a repositioner appliance, a morning aligner, same appliance, to bring their jaw back to minimize that stretch to bring the lower jaw forward permanently for 1 to 2 millimeters over a 7 to 10 year period. I believe the side effect of that, even if it does happen with informed consent sign, is very, very ridiculous relative to the side effect of what happened to me. If I crashed my car into a human being or another car with people in it, I would not be able to be talking to you about this today. I mean, I don't even know where my life would go, let alone if I didn't have my seatbelt on and flew through the windshield. I mean, the tree was halfway into my front bumper and into the engine area, right? And just imagine if I had my kids in the car or something to that extent. Like, these are, it's not unlikely that this could happen. It's estimated up to 6% of all crashes occur because people are falling asleep at the wheel. Bus drivers, train conductors, pilots, let alone private individuals driving their cars into the, you know, into the center divider. So, and that's just one topic that we've talked about, you and I today.
Now, I was just going to ask you, the financial investment that a dentist would need to make if they're going to jump into this world, I don't think it's that much. I mean, when you build a dental office, it's you know, $600,000-$800,000 to build out an office and get equipment and computers. But to incorporate sleep dentistry into your practice, there's not a big financial investment, is there?
No, I mean, again, there's courses that you could take that cost several hundred to, you know, a couple thousand dollars. When I was teaching just the one-day course, I was teaching it for $500 for an attendee to come for the day and then go off and do it, right? And again, what I've noticed is not everybody goes off and does it. And I know some of the listeners have taken their courses. You know, then there's residencies that you could take that cost several thousands of dollars. The main focus here is, can someone guide you step by step after you learn the ABCs of everything on how to do this? And that is what makes you successful. And for me, I charge, depends on how much the patient, the doctor knows already, but on average, I charge $2,500 a month for 6 months. So that's $15,000 is the investment. And there's a money back guarantee that you will make that and then some. I mean, if you can't make the 15 grand back that you invest with me, I don't want your money. Give it back to you. I haven't had one office do that. And it's just because it's a joke. I mean, we're expecting you to make $250,000 the first year. So you're going to make your investment and then some. And more importantly, no equipment to buy, nothing else to do besides learn how to do it, implement it, and get coached through it to become successful through marketing efforts, internally, externally, and any troubleshooting that you have.
Have you found that a lot of your patients that you've treated for sleep apnea who've had great success and you've changed their lives, they refer, just say, you can't go to any other dentist than Dr. Rad, right? I mean, you've gotten referrals. I mean, it's a great marketing tool for your practice, isn't it?
Google Dr. Radfar or Dr. Radfar and look at my reviews about, and a lot of them are sleep. And with the most utmost humility, I read, Dr. Rad is the best. He saved my life. Dr. Rad is the best. He saved my marriage. I mean, these patients have not only become my dental patients, which that's another wealth of when people.
That's get, what I mean is you can get dental patients. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and also the patients that I get from the medical doctors, because I teach on how to effectively communicate your existing patient who has been screened by you, home sleep tested, and now you have this powerful information. All their medical doctors, hint, hint, wink, wink, should know you did this. And now they know that Dr. Rad services their patients, mutual patients. And who is this Dr. Rad? Because I keep getting information, letters from his office about our mutual patients. So I teach on how to get into a dental practice, and I make sure that dentists are calling these medical doctors, making sure they got their letters, making sure they're setting up time to go there just to say hello, pick up their business cards, give some business cards, get your name out to the MDs by showing them that you're helping service their patients already. And so that itself has brought in dental patients. And it costs you nothing, a stamp and some time to talk to these MDs, let alone the reviews and all the referrals that you'll get from your existing patients who you've serviced with an oral appliance.
So I know I've only got you for a few more minutes, Doctor. I want you one more time. I want you to talk about, how can they get a hold of you? What's your website? What's your email? What would be the best way if doctors, again, this podcast is a call to action. And Dr. Dar Radfar has just, I mean, my head's blowing up right now with all the information he's provided in the last hour. But it's all stuff that's going to help your patients improve the quality of their lives. And that's what this is all about. How do we get a hold of you, Doctor?
So, Art, first of all, thank you so much for allowing me this platform. As you could tell, I'm so excited to help other dentists to be able to help humans lead with their heart, lead with their kindness and compassion. You guys we all struggle. My back hurts. My neck hurts. I understand and I feel your pain. And for the private practice out there that wants to just, make a little bit more of a living and help patients or people who have DSOs and want to incorporate this and increase their EBITDA, the way you do it is you add a service
that is cost effective and makes multiple on your investment. And I help you do that. And you can reach me through email, darradfar@gmail.com or at radseminar.com. You can throw a message in the chat there. It comes directly to my phone. And you can look at all the things that's included in my coaching consulting program that is guaranteed to at least return your investment that you put in financially, let alone a return on life.
Dr. Dar Radfar, thank you so much for your time and your expertise. It is obvious to me how much you care. I mean, when you talk to somebody about they're charging $3,000 for an appliance, and I know that people are charging double that. So it's obvious that it's not all about the money with this man, and he wants to help doctors, and it's a passion of his. And dentistry is a passion of mine. I celebrate my 40th anniversary as a dental CPA the day after Labor Day, and you know, my legacy is to help you, doctor, to be better at what you're doing. So, Dr. Radfar, thank you for your time. If you need to jump up, I understand. I will. I'm sure I'll see you down the road, maybe at another SCN meeting, I hope.
Art, I love your podcast. Keep it up. Thank you so much for having me on. And the listeners, be safe and sleep well.
Yes, absolutely. So everybody, I want to thank you again for the honor and privilege of your time today. I want to thank Decisions in Dentistry magazine, www.decisionsindentistry.com, 140 CE courses at a very reasonable price, including my three video CE courses. Go to www.decisionsindentistry.com. If you need a dental CPA, we're your people that you want to call. 657-279-3243 and awiederman@idebailey.com. If you're looking to do some financial planning, you don't have your financial house in order, we got your back too. Give me a call and we can get you set up there. And with that, I want to thank you for the again for the honor and privilege of your time. And with that, that is this episode, a wrap on this episode of the Art and Dental Finance of Management podcast with Art Wiederman. Please tell your friends about the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. The Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast is produced by Ide Bailey in partnership with Art Wiederman, CPA, Decisions in Dentistry Magazine, and the Academy of Dental CPAs. For audience questions and feedback, email Art Wiederman, awiederman@idebailey.com. That's awiederman at eidebailey.com. Or you may call Art at 657-279-3243.